American vaccines. We're still giving it to every African child, and it's still in the flu shots, which are given to pregnant women, which is insane. But, you know, I spent 35 years trying to get mercury out of the fish, and nobody called me anti-fish. So I'm trying to get mercury out of the vaccines. It doesn't make me anti-vaccine. If the vaccine works, I'd be the first one to take it. And I took flu vaccines for 20 years every year. All of my children are fully vaccinated.
So the pushback that, you know, against that claim is on the mercury. Let's just start with that. As I understand it, there are two types of mercury that we're dealing with, right? There's ethyl mercury in vaccines, and then there's methyl mercury, which is found in fish. And apparently, you know, methyl mercury is more of a potent neurotoxin than ethyl mercury is, which is said to be safer, ethyl is, than methyl. And the experts, right, the people on the other side of you, that I'm using that term in quotes, experts, but they say that ethyl mercury in the vaccines will exit the body much faster. So it's less of a safety issue than the methyl mercury you might find in eating a fish. They say that, okay, so that's with respect to mercury. And there's a guy, I'm sure you've read his piece, he's a professor of pediatrics, director of the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, Paul Offit, who says, look, the human body will eliminate ethyl mercury that's in vaccines far more efficiently than it eliminates naturally occurring methyl mercury that's in fish. So we're better at getting rid of the ethyl that would be in a vaccine. They use it as basically a preservative so that the vaccine remains viable to give to you. So they say we're way better at taking care of that ethyl mercury, our bodies. And he says that a baby would receive far more of this methyl mercury during the first 6 months of life than they would ever receive long before their first dose of, say, the influenza vaccine. And saying that just simply by living on Earth, he writes, by 6 months of age, babies will have ingested an amount of mercury that is 1,440 times greater than the safety limit that you propose. So in other words, even if we don't give the vaccines to the babies, or even if we take the mercury out of all vaccines, the babies are still going to be getting this methyl mercury thanks to their moms and the way we eat and so on, which belies the claim that somehow the ethyl mercury in the vaccines is somehow causing harm.
Okay, so Paul Offit, who told you that, knows that that's untrue. And the reason I know he knows it is because I had a conversation with him, which I recorded in 2006, which he admitted that was a lie. And here's what happened, Megan. In that claim that ethyl mercury is quickly excreted from the body was made originally by Eli Lilly, which developed this thimerosal, the mercury preservative for vaccines in 1932. There was no science that supported them. They literally had no science. Then in 2000, but they were all repeating this again and again like a mantra. And in 2003, a CDC scientist called Picciero did a study that seemed to confirm that claim. And what he did was he measured the mercury levels in the blood of children who had been given a thimerosal vaccine. And within a week, the mercury, the ethyl mercury in the vaccines had all disappeared. Then he gave the same children a tuna fish sandwich, and the methyl mercury from the tuna fish was in their blood 54 days later. That was the half-life. Oh, his conclusion is, wow, you know, we've been saying this for all these years, and it turns out to be true. And he published that in Pediatrics, and a bunch of scientists, like world authorities on mercury toxicity, like Dr. Boyd Haley from the University Chair of the Chemistry Department of the University of Kentucky, wrote a letter to the journal and said, oh, what happened to the ethyl mercury? Because Picciero could not find it in the sweat of the children, the feces, the blood, the hair, or the fingernails, or the urine. What happened to it? Did it really leave the body? So NIH commissioned a monkey study by one of the famous, iconic scientist, Dr. Thomas Piccirro at the University of Seattle in Washington, or University of Washington, Seattle. Mm-hmm. He took macaques. He did the same thing. He gave half of the macaques tuna fish sandwiches. He gave the other half mercury vaccines at the same level that our kids are getting. And he found the same thing that Piccirro did. Within a week, mercury from the vaccine was gone from the blood. But the mercury from the tuna was still in those monkeys 54 days later. But then when he sacrificed the monkeys, which means he killed them, did a PM and did mercury content postmortem of their brains, what he found was that the mercury in the brains of the monkeys who had gotten the ethyl mercury from the vaccines was more than double what the monkeys had who had gotten the tuna fish. Not only that, but the mercury had metabolized into organic mercury, which is the most toxic form of mercury. Mm. And we now know that 27 years later, it is still in the brain, causing inflammation, causing destruction. So it's very clear that ethyl mercury is much worse for your brain than methyl mercury. Why does Paul Offit? Paul Offit told me the same story. This is something they repeat and repeat and repeat, and they all know it's untrue. And that actually, that conversation that I had with him that I taped, and I hope at some time to depose him on, when I said to him, he said, well, Bobby, and you know, listen, Paul Offit was very sweet to me on the phone. He said, I love your father. He said, your father is one of the reasons that inspired me to get into public health, et cetera. So I was inclined to really like Paul Offit. You know, I'm susceptible to that kind of flattery. And then he started saying things to me that I knew weren't true. And I asked him this question. I said, how is it that the CDC recommends that pregnant women not eat tuna fish sandwiches, and yet they're giving flu shots and other shots, DTP shots, the same women where the mercury is not going to be filtered out by stomach acids or by gastric fluids or the gastric process directly into the blood, and much greater loads than you would get from a tuna fish sandwich? And he told me that story. He said, Bobby, it's because there's two kinds of mercury. There's a good mercury, which is ethyl mercury in vaccines, and there's a bad mercury, the methyl mercury in fish. And I knew at that time that I was being lied to, because I knew a lot about mercury, having litigated it, which is like getting a PhD. Mm-hmm. And I knew that there is no such thing as a good mercury and a bad mercury. His argument was not with me. It was with the periodic tables, and the periodic tables would beat him. So the fact that he is, and I confronted him. I said, how do you know it leaves? He said, because there's a study by Piccirro. And I said, Dr. Offit, what about the Burbacher study? And there was dead silence.
With the monkeys.
And then he said to me, and I can play you this tape. He said, you're right, Bobby. The Piccirro study doesn't really prove that. It's a mosaic of studies. And mm-hmm. I said, a mosaic. Can you cite any of them? And he said, I'll get back to you. And that's the last I ever heard of Paul Offit. So he knows what he was a lie.
Okay, so.
By the way.
Yeah.
Mercury is cumulative. And Dr. Offit is right. The kids have many exposures to mercury. Vaccines are much worse. And we know this because of FDA's own studies, their internal studies that showed that kids, by their own regulations, are receiving huge amounts of mercury, hundreds of times what the EPA maximum safe exposures are repeatedly during childhood from these vaccines. Oh, but Paul is right that we're getting mercury from everywhere. You know, this was not true in pre-industrial times. Was a source of mercury from the environment. Kids, we were not designed for exposures to all these heavy metals. We're getting them out because there's pollution all around us, and there's dental amalgams, and there's all these other sources. we know that, the exposures are cumulative.
Let me jump in here and advance it. Because the bottom line is that in 1997, the FDA did a review of this thimerosal, which has the mercury, which is what they put in the vaccines to preserve the vaccine. And the FDA found that the mercury level in the vaccine schedule was too high. The FDA found that. They said they found no evidence of harm from the use of thimerosal as a vaccine preservative, other than local hypersensitivity reactions. And nonetheless, though, they nixed it from the childhood vaccines. I mean, so whatever, people can draw their own conclusions about what the FDA really thought. But for whatever reason, it came out, or they said it came out. But as you point out, still in the flu vaccine, which is given to pregnant mothers. But about like the MMR and all that, they took it out. They said there's no data or evidence of any harm caused by the level of exposure that some children may have encountered in following the existing immunization schedule. This is 1999, because the fear in the 1990s was that you write all about this in your earlier book, but we basically had a situation where in the 1980s, these companies could get sued. These vaccine manufacturers could still get sued. And so one by one, they stopped wanting to manufacture vaccines. I mean, this, you know, as a lawyer, that has a way of happening. And so under President Reagan, we gave them immunity, basically said, you can't sue them anymore. We're going to create a pot of money for victims to sue if they think they've been vaccine injured, but you really can't sue the vaccine manufacturers. So they started to develop more. And then lo and behold, the vaccine schedule started to have a bunch more requirements for young kids. So your pediatrician in the 90s was recommending way more vaccines for your kid than back when I was born in 1970. And parents started to do it. And then in the 90s, we started to see an uprise in the number of autism cases of the autism spectrum disorder. And the question came from many parents, is there a link? You know, did I do something to my child when I gave him all these many vaccines, more than have ever been required in a short amount of time? And then people started to look at the mercury in the vaccines to say, could that have been it? Too much. You know, as Jenny McCarthy said, because she's one of the parents who believed it happened to her child, too many vaccines in too short a time. And they did study after study after study after study after study. And what the medical community concluded, right? I'm not a scientist. What they concluded is that mercury or no mercury, right? Like mercury, no one's making the case that it's perfectly safe, but that it didn't cause autism, that rise in autism could not be linked to thimerosal. And even when they took thimerosal out of all these vaccines, the number of autism cases continued to go up. So they used that to say, you know, the argument that that the vaccines in the 90s were causing autism in children it falls apart when you look at what happened after we took it out, which is the cases kept going up. The reason, you know, they kept going up is, and the reason they were going up in the 90s is because we were casting a wider net for what would fall within autism and what wouldn't. You know, we were more awake to what that disorder looks like, and we were slapping the proper label on it. It wasn't anything to do with the vaccines.
Okay, well, you raise a number of issues there. And again, these are all classic industry talking points, but let's take them one at a time. Number one, the mercury was not removed from the vaccines in 2003. It was removed from some of the pediatric vaccines. But at the same time, the CDC mandated for the first time, or what they call recommended, but it's effectively a mandate, flu vaccines for pregnant women and for children in every year of life. So the vaccines that they took out were vaccines they were giving to 1, 2, 3, or 4 times to kids. And now they're giving kids vaccines every single year. And for the first 15 years, 85 to 95% of the flu vaccines had bolus doses of mercury, meaning 25 micrograms, huge doses. The maximum exposure is 1 microgram. So they were getting it again and again and again. Furthermore, for the first time, they're recommending flu vaccines to pregnant women. Next, the mercury, when it was taken out of the other vaccines, was replaced with aluminum. And aluminum is also very, very similar, very potent neurotoxin. So now we're giving kids aluminum vaccines, and in the same wellness visit, you're giving them a mercury flu shot. So, you know, science on the impacts on